Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Thank you to the texter who is getting us up to speed on maybe what the politically correct terms are for an offensive line that's struggling in the manner the Texans are.
Yeah.
Says the Texans' offensive line is somewhat soft, but if we're going to be politically correct or sugarcoat it, they are a very finesse offensive line.
They're finesse. Yeah, they're more finesse than they are. Okay, I like that.
There are very few. I love how he puts all the words that might be polarizing in all caps, this texter.
Yeah.
There are very few road graders or bulldozers in this group.
Yeah, that's what. There's a, I don't know how many like genuine bulldozers or road gradings have we seen. I think probably more out of the wide receivers than out of the offensive line.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I remember week one, Kenyon Green basically threw Zaire Franklin out of the bar.
Yeah.
It looked like Zaire Franklin was falling off a skyscraper in Die Hard. It was, boy, it was glorious.
Yeah.
And then everything just kind of faded away.
It was weird. Yeah. It's like, it was a week one, the run game is like a fever dream in some ways. I'm like, well, this is, remember we were like, this is how it's supposed to look. This is what you do. You line up with 4 minutes to go and you impose your will on the other team.
You know what it looks like to me, Sean?
Yeah.
Amphetamine abuse. Huh? That's exactly how it goes. One moment you're rolling through Belgium all hopped up on amphetamines and everything, and you fast forward to after they start to take their toll, and you can't, you're out there
under your
fighting
eyes
with 14-year-olds.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
That's basically what they were probably all hopped up and ready to go, and then...
Same exact thing.
Stay away from drugs, kids.
That's it. That's the message. Don't do drugs. So the Rockets get started tonight. This is excited as I've been for a Rockets season in a long, long time. Because I think they've got a real shot to make the postseason this year. They came close last year to getting into the play-in. They were 41-41. They had the best record. I forget what the stat was. They had like the best record for an 11 seed in however long without making the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
41-41 last year. I've got a few things I'm excited for, Seth. Year two of Ime Udoka, and does this culture that he has implemented here. I think he and D'Amico are very similar in a lot of ways, and I think the big one was, man, this team just operated under a different culture in the first year under these head coaches, and it was very refreshing to see. The Rockets' culture might have even been more emphatic or in your face than the Texans' culture change was. If you watch them game to game, well, the Texans one probably made more headlines because it's football, but man, the Rockets, they were as chippy an NBA team as there was last year, man. They got into scrapes in the second half of the season on the regular.
You know, I would say that the Dylan Brooks dynamic is big in this one. Mm-hmm. I think that with different coaches, that we might not have felt the same way about Dylan Brooks that we ended up feeling. A lot of side-eyed and skepticism and raised eyebrows when the Rockets first signed Dylan Brooks. And yet, I felt like all of Dylan Brooks' aggressiveness and his volatility is the wrong word. Just his passion.
Yeah.
That's I'm framing it as passion instead of volatility.
Yeah.
In another circumstance, I think I might have been framing it as volatility.
Yes.
Or if you were playing for another team. But because of Udoka and because of the way they're operating, I'm like, all right, this is the passion this young team needs to see.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. I thought they got, you know, the two big vets they signed, Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, I thought they got out of them last year what they were looking for. Number two, Reed Sheppard. Mm-hmm. I am anxious to see, not just watch Reed Sheppard play NBA basketball, but I'm anxious to see how quickly he goes from being a guy they're bringing off the bench to being a guy who has got... He'll probably come off the bench. I could see him coming off the bench all season this year just because you've got Fred VanVleet as your starting point guard, and you've got experienced ascending NBA players right now in the starting lineup. But I'm anxious to see what the minute distribution starts to look like as the season goes on. He's a really, really good basketball player, man.
And I think, and he's a different type of player than James Harden, obviously. Yeah. But somebody earlier had asked a week or two ago, it said, well, he's projected to be a backup. How can he be the favorite for rookie of the year? And I think it's like, think of James Harden back when he was in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
He got a lot of pub for being the sixth man. And
he was clearly their third best player back then.
Yes. So I think that's the dynamic that Reed Sheppard, especially because he doesn't have to be a starter to still come in and shoot and score a lot and in droves. So, and especially if the Rockets elevate and become a bona fide playoff caliber team, yeah, then he's going to be looked at as one of those parts. So there's a chance for him to have an impact above and beyond just whether he's a starter or
not. That's a great point. And I think the other thing I would say, if you're bringing up the Rookie of the Year award, is there's no Victor Wembanyama in this rookie class. You know, like there's no that dude in this rookie class. It might be Reed Sheppard, you know. Yeah. So that's number two. Very anxious to see how the Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün as the two cornerstones, now both highly paid. How do they mesh? You know, these are both guys that have needed the ball in their hands. Şengün is a very specific type of offensive player that you know, who's very good at distributing the ball, but Jalen playing off the ball, what does that look like? It seems like of the two contracts that Şengün is getting universal praise, whereas Jalen Green, people are a little more mixed because I thought the same thing at the time. Like, look, the money's crazy these days. I was glad it was only a 3-year deal because I even tweeted it at the time. I'm okay with it, but just okay because Jalen Green's had one great month. Alperen Şengün was a borderline all-star when he was playing last year through the entirety of the time he played. Jalen Green had one great month where he affected winning. And other than that, he's been an inefficient player that has treated defense as more optional. He's gotten better as a defender under Udoka, but he's not a great, he'll never be a great defender. He just doesn't have that makeup to be one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anxious to see these two guys.
He's a father, or soon to be a father.
He's gotta be one by now, right?
Yeah. Is he? I think he is.
I think they had the baby. I think they had the baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a father.
Yeah.
The maturity that comes along with that,
yeah,
plus the pressure of it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that he's only 22 years old, Sean.
I know. That's the world we live in now, though, man. The pressure hits at 22 in the NBA.
It's a bit of a futures bet by the Rockets. The development's going to continue.
Yes.
Jalen Green right now is that fourth year quarterback.
Yeah,
it's all right. What do we have in Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
What do we really have in Trevor Lawrence? And all right, we either we gamble on him and we pay him the money now and hope that it works out. Because if he turns into what we think he could be, then hey, this could be a relative bargain. It'll be a slam dunk move.
And similarly, though, they didn't have to do anything.
Yes, you know, right. Yeah, it's you don't have to do this, you know, Jaguars. Right. You really don't have to.
Yeah,
I know precedent is that it shows that you should, but you don't have to.
Yep. Last one. I'm anxious to watch Amen Thompson in year two and just see what his development looks like. Just kind of see what he turns into as an NBA player because he's very athletic, very long, really good defensively, has an impact when he's out there. I think he's a winning basketball player. Does he develop a jump shot that makes him a more dangerous basketball player in year two? And how does he get deployed? I'm anxious to see. I mean, there's a lot of really fun pieces on this team, man. It's going to be a fun
year. Game's 7 p.m. tip-off.
Yeah.
Versus the hated Charlotte Hornets.
Despised.
The despised and loathed Charlotte Hornets.
Yep.
It's game time,
we
baby.
Hate them.
Let's do this.
Yeah, we hate them. All right, big news today. DeAndre Hopkins is a Kansas City Chief, or he's about to be. They're finalizing the deal to make D-Hop a Kansas City Chief. This is just the latest in what has been by far the most dramatic position, really going back to the offseason, but into the regular season, the drama has carried on. How do we feel the Texans are fitting in the wide receiver drama universe right now? Are we comfortable with where they're at with that group, given all the moving parts that are going on around the NFL? We'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour coming up next.